All right, I want to talk to you for the next few minutes from the subject from obedience to overflow, from obedience to overflow. And I really want to share with you my personal testimony of how I worked the principles of faith and the principles of giving that have led to a life of overflow in my life. Now, I live a supernatural life. I really, really do. When you look at my life and just how God has blessed me, it really doesn't make sense, but it makes faith, right? And I don't, and let me just preface this, I don't share my testimony and all the great things God has done to brag, because that's not even my, I ain't cut from that cloth, right? I'm sharing my testimony to inspire you, to get you to understand that God is no respecter of persons, that he is only a respecter of faith. So what he does for one in principle, he will do for another. To the degree that we will give him our faith and work the word, we will see God do amazing things in our lives. John 10 and 10 is our foundational opening text. It says, "The thief cometh not," I need your help, class, "but for two and to, and to," all right? So number one, when bad things happen, it's not God's fault. It is the enemy that does those things. Jesus says, because this is in red, and so when it's in red, Jesus is talking. Jesus says, "I'm come that they may have," and that they may have it. In the Amplified, it says, "to the full till it overflows." And so we see from Scripture that God wants us to live an abundant, overflowing life, all right? Several years ago, I was at a very low point in my life. I was living holy. I loved God, but I had questions. I would read scriptures like John 10 and 10, but I wasn't really experiencing the abundant life. I would read scriptures like 3 John 2, where he says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers," but I really wasn't experiencing any type of prosperity. And then as I begin to just really see God and begin to learn the word, I begin to really learn the word of faith, and I begin to learn that the Bible is full of prophecy, promises, and principles. And for every prophecy, for every promise, and for every principle, that there was a faith process to bring it to pass. I learned that the will of God was not automatic, that God needed my permission and my participation for him to usher his will into my life. A lot of times we sit around saying we're waiting on God when actually God is waiting on us. And so I begin to just learn the principles of faith and the principles of giving that radically changed my life. I learned that if I would obey God in my giving, it would produce an amazing life of overflow and abundance, because God wanted to bless me so I could be a blessing to somebody else. Does that make sense? And so the will of God is for you to have enough for you, but also and have enough to save and, you know, and put away for later, but still have enough to be a blessing to somebody else. And that's the order of God. Several years ago, I was in the United States Marine Corps from 1995 to 1999. The only reason I got out of the Marine Corps is because I knew that the Lord spoke to me and told me to get out, because I loved being in the Corps, right? Like, I was one of them motivated ones. You got it? Like, you know, born to fight, trained to kill, ready to die, but never will. You understand? Like, my goal is to be the Sergeant Major of the Marine Corps, right? And people laugh, but I was like, no, I mean, if I'm, you know, you go big or you go home, right? And so I was just always that motivated kind of person. But, you know, I ended up getting out because I knew that's what the Lord wanted me to do. I didn't understand that years ago, but I understood that his voice, and I knew I needed to obey God. Everybody say, obey God. And that's something that you have to learn to do in every area of your life, not just the area of giving, but you need to learn to obey God in every area of your life. And so I said, okay, I'm going to get out. I landed a job working on base almost across the street from where I was, and it took me almost a year to land the job. It was a good job. It was paying 20-some dollars an hour back in 1999. How many know 20-some dollars an hour back in 1999 was good money? How many know it ain't bad money today? Praise the Lord. Right? And so make a long story short, I get the job, you know, I'm working on it. Then once I'm done, they tell me, hey, you're done. Now we're about to switch you to third shift. I had no idea I was going to third shift, but that's okay, because I'm motivated, right? And so no problem. And I got on third shift to find out that I cannot sleep, you know, in the daytime. If you work at night, you got it. Then you're going to have to sleep in the daytime. Well, I could not sleep in the daytime. To this day, I will be in a few weeks 49 years old, and I rarely ever take a nap in the daytime because when it's light, my body says you don't go to sleep in the daytime. You got it? God bless all of you all that are able to take daytime naps, because I hear that daytime naps are absolutely pretty amazing, praise the Lord, right? And so, but you know, and thank God for Lady. Lady would, she went in our room and she would try to put, you know, the big black comforter over the curtains to make it as dark as she could. She did everything she could. I just couldn't do it. And so we decided together that, you know, hey, we're just going to have to let this job go and we're just going to have to trust God. And so I went to my supervisor and I let him know, hey, I'm going to have to let the job go. And I explained why. And he thought I was crazy. And he's like, do you know how long it took you, you know, to even land a job like this? Do you know what you're going to miss? And I said, yeah, we understand. He said, no, you're not going to quit. He said, this is what's going to happen. He says, you're a smart guy. You can do your job quick. So when you come in, go to work. He said, after a few hours, go to the break room or the locker room and go to sleep for a while. He said, then come back, finish your job, and then go to sleep. He said, because you're a quick guy. You can get your job done fast. He said, and when you just wake up before the first shift supervisor comes in so you don't get me in trouble. You got it? And he said, sounds good. I said, no. I said, and I had to explain that, you know, I serve a God of integrity, and to the degree I would do things God's way, I would get God results in my life. And so, you know, we let the job go. Fast forward, you know, just kind of some rough patches. I ended up taking a job for $6.25 an hour in Jacksonville on Gum Branch Road at a place called Ecom that was right across the street from Jacksonville High School. This is a testimony, not a testiphony, praise the Lord. And the only shift they had was an afternoon shift, and I worked with a bunch of high schoolers because all the high schoolers, it was their first job, and they would come across the street. So I'm a leader of Marines. You understand what I'm saying? Working with all these kids that think everything is funny, you know, and just, you know, it was a tough job. But even in that position, I saw that God was teaching me some things. You got it. And so bottom line is I would go to work. We only had one car. And so at that time, Lady was at work. And so I would walk to work. You got it. Brothers, if there's only one car in the family, you got it. You know, the wife gets the car. Praise the Lord. Right. And then when you get to two, then the wife gets the better one. Praise the Lord. All right. Some of y'all don't like that. All right. What does that do? It keeps you in faith to both of you driving good. Amen. And so, I thank God for a man of God who would teach us on faith and who would teach us on giving. He was teaching on the power of the tithe. And he started talking from Malachi where it says, prove me and see if I won't open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there might not be room enough to receive. And I began to learn that the windows of heaven were not literal windows where angels were dumping out $100 bills on good days, but it had to do with insight and opportunity and inspired ideas and the wisdom of God. And so I begin to get the wisdom of God for my life and how I want it to move in my life. I would make daily confessions over my wife and over my marriage and over our finances. And I would confess the word of God over and over and over. I went and bought a box truck and I put cut a hole in the wall and put a window up there. And I bought a little bale and I spray painted the hubcaps. What were you doing? I was making me an ice cream truck. So I was the ice cream man. You got it. And there were several ice cream men in Jacksonville. And, you know, I talked to some of them and they tell me, you know, you know, on a good week, you may make $800 or you make $1,000 and those kind of things. But my thing is, Lord, if faith works, I'm going to see it work on this ice cream truck. And so I worked the principles of faith, and I would declare on the ice cream truck, Father, I thank you every time I'll turn into, every time I turn into a neighborhood that kids stand in line to buy ice cream for me. I thank you for favor with all the parents that they love to see my ice cream truck coming, right? I would keep both doors open because I understand parents want to make sure that their kids are safe. I wear a polo shirt, some pants with my belt buckle, you know, and everything looking the right way. You understand what I'm saying? Look as professional as I could for the situation that I was in. And y'all, they would tell me that you could make $800 to $1,000 a week. Everybody say one day. One day, when I talked Lady LaConte into going on the ice cream truck with me on a Saturday, we made $800 in one day on the ice cream truck because I believed that God could do anything but fail in my life. Does that make sense? And so, you know, we continue just to work the principles of faith. We continue to confess. We continue to believe God for big things. An amazing door opened for us, to start some businesses. It was not easy because people did not want to help us. But it's okay. I knew I had God. As long as I had God, that's all I needed, right? And so I was talking to Ben the other day, and I was telling him, I went to people that were already in that industry, and I said, hey, I'll take you to lunch. I'll pay for lunch. You know, I need to get information. Nobody would give me information. I had to figure it out all on my own, but I figured it out all on my own to the degree that our business became one of the best businesses in the city. And at the height of our businesses, we were making about $2.7 million a year. Watch this. I have no formal training. I have no formal degrees, and I believe in education. You understand? Just not the route that I went. You got it. But watch this. But because I serve God, I had the favor of God on my life, and God brought us to a place of overflow. Amen. So I told you all that because I need you to understand that He's the same God. Everybody say same God. So that God is no respecter of persons. He's only a respecter of faith. What He does for one in principle, He will do for another. So as you work the principles of faith and the principles of giving, God will do some amazing things in your life. It might look different than what God did for Lady and I, but the bottom line is He's a man of His word. He cannot change. He will not lie. And if you will work the principles of faith and obey God, it can also take you to a place of overflow. Does that make sense? Now, if you're going clap, give me a good clap, don't patty cake. All right, and so along the way, there are several things that I learned. I want to share a few things with you that I learned that I believe will be a blessing. I want to, in the context of this lesson, and hopefully I'll give you some change on the clock, there are three things that I learned, and so let's just jump into them. Everybody say number one. The first thing I learned is that giving is God's plan, that giving was God's plan, that it was not a man's plan. It wasn't my pastor's plan. You got it. It wasn't something that we just read in some book somewhere, but giving was God's plan. Here at Without Limits, we say giving is not what? That's right. Giving is not a game. You may have seen games played. You got it. Never at this church. You got it. But you have maybe on social media. That's why I'm very skeptical about all these upcoming people that just they called. You got it. On social media. They have no accountability, but they're called. Just be careful with those kind of things. Praise the Lord. I'm going to keep on moving. All right. But giving, you might have seen games played. And if you're not careful, the enemy will try to push you away. I ain't doing that because that's crazy. No, you know, irregardless of the games that have been played, and unfortunately, there are people that play games. It is still God's plan to prosper our lives. Genesis 8:22 says, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. So the Bible says, as long as the earth remains, there's going to be some constants. There's going to be some consistencies, and seed time and harvest is one of them. 2 Corinthians 9:6, watch what this says. The first, on the count of three, give me the first two words. 1, 2, 3. He says, do what? In other words, don't forget this. This is important. He says, he who sows sparingly and grudgingly will also reap, how class, sparingly and grudgingly. Attitudes of the heart. We talked about this a little bit last week when we talked about the blessing principle. And he who sows generously, that blessings may come to someone, will also reap generously and with blessings. Verse 7, let each one give as he has made up his own mind and purpose in his own heart, not reluctantly or sorrowfully or under compulsion. It is very important that you are a giver, but you are a giver God's way. Because the Bible says that God loves a cheerful giver, right? He says not reluctantly, not sorrowfully, not under compulsion. So when it comes to, you know, the giving of your tithes and of your offerings, whether you're going and you're doing it on push pay or secure give or whatever, it should be from the heart that, Father, I thank you for the increase and everything you've done in my life for me and my family, my kids, and I'm going to return the first portion to you out of gratitude for everything you've done for me. Does that make sense? Right? And so, you know, but not in a compulsion, right? Because nobody here Without Limits has ever tried to make you do something. Can I get a... Right? Whether it's give, whether it's serve, whether it's anything, right? And so why? Because God loves, he takes pleasure in, prizes above other things, and is unwilling to abandon or do it out a cheerful, joyous, prompt to do it right away. you got it. You know, that because especially if you struggle in that area and sometimes you might give and sometimes you don't, you know, but what happens is, you know, if the enemy knows you struggle, as soon as you get any kind of increase, he's coming right away. He going to remind you, you got to take care of this, you got to do that, and that kind of thing. And that's why just prompt to do it. I'm going on secure give or push pay right away. I'm going to return to the Lord, and I'm in faith that God's going to do some amazing things in my life. All right? So he says, a giver whose heart is in his giving. Verse 8. So the Bible is full of prophecy, promises, and principles. A lot of times you'll see a principle, and then you'll see a promise behind it. I like to call it the if-thens. If you be willing and obedient, then you'll eat the good of the land. If you obey and serve him, then you'll spend your days in prosperity and your years in pleasure. That's all from the straight from the Word of God, right? And so we see that there's a way that we ought to do. There's a certain attitude we have to have from our heart when we give. And then verse 8 says that if you do that, then God is able to make all grace, every favor, and earthly blessing come to you, how, class? In abundance, so that you may always, under all circumstances and whatever the need be. So in other words, doesn't matter what comes up, doesn't matter what the situation is, it's the will of God for you to always have, under all circumstances and whatever the need be, he wants you to be self-sufficient. And it's the will of God for you to be self-sufficient. And I want you to make sure that you're confessing, Father, I thank you that I'm self-sufficient. I thank you that me and my family are self-sufficient. What is self-sufficient? All we got to do is keep reading. It says, possessing enough to require no aid or support and furnish in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. So you got to have enough for you, enough for somebody else, and you still got a grip left over. That is the will of God for your life. That sounds like overflow to me, amen? And so the key is learning to obey God in these areas so I can see overflow in my life, amen? How many consistent givers in the house would tell you, you can't be God-given, I don't care how hard you try. You got it? And so you got to understand that giving is not what? It's not a game. So number one, the first thing I learned that was giving was God's plan, all right? Here we go. Number two, the second thing I learned was that obedience unlocks the door. Obedience unlocks the door. Everybody say, obey God. See, that is the key to really seeing this principle really work in your life is to obey God. If the only way for the windows of heaven to open is for me to return the tithe, you understand? The only way for it to be given unto me, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, is for me to give, right? There's some things that I have to do first, and you have to learn how to obey God because God is really looking for channels he can flow through. If he can get it through you, he will get it to you, right? The couple that I prophesied to last week at the 11 o'clock service, I said, hey, we're going to give you, $1,000. Well, lady and I, we did that, of course, personally. And so what happened was we had to leave. We had to take care of some stuff. But then I called Ellen and said, Ellen, let them know I haven't forgotten about them as soon as I can. See if they have Cash App. Why? Because anytime God tells you to do something, you don't need to forget it. You need to be a prompt to do it giver and do it with deliberate speed. Because my whole thing is I want to go ahead and get my seed in the ground right away so it can start working for me. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so you got to learn that God is looking for, he says, give and it shall be given unto you, Luke 6, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, I will cause men to give into your bosom. So the writer is teaching us that God raises up men or women, as the case may be, to be a blessing. When I learned the scripture, I said, Lord, I want you to make me the man that you are flowing things through. I'm not so much worried about somebody doing something for me. God, I want you to raise me up and me for me to be a blessing so I can always be a blessing to somebody else. And that is the true heart of a giver. Does that make sense? All right. So, and I thank God for a pastor who was bold enough to teach me the principle of giving. You understand? Who wasn't scared, because I learned a lot under my man of God. I learned that if I would serve, if I would sow, and if I would sacrifice, that I would see the supernatural show up in my life. And you got to ask yourself the question, am I serving? Am I serving in the house of the Lord? You got it. You know, am I sowing? Am I returning the tithe and giving an offering? Am I sacrificing? Because sacrifice sets in motion the supernatural power of God. Lady LaConte and I did some things for some people last week, and it was a pure sacrifice. It took our time. It took our energy. It took our talents. It took, but I told Lady, sacrifice sets in, and we were tired. You got it. But sacrifice sets in motion the supernatural power of God. And so I don't ask you to work a principle that I don't work, because I understand that the reason I live the life that I live is because of the, watch this, of the principles that I apply that I find in the Word of God. Amen. So we must learn to obey God in our giving, even when it's not ideal. Can I get a waiting for everything to be right in our life to become, you know, good stewards will always cause delay in disobedience. Delayed giving always equals a deferred harvest. So tough times are no excuse not to give. It is actually the reason why we should give. Genesis 26 and 1. I'm going to read just Genesis 26 and 1, and then I'm going to read verses 12 through 14. Amen. All right. Y'all with me? It says, and there was a famine. So everybody say tough times. There was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. Verse 12. So in verse 1, we find out there was a famine, right? Verse 12 says, then Isaac sowed in that land. What land? The land where there was a famine. So tough times are no excuse not to give. It's the reason that we should. Watch this. And family, this is where pastor releases his faith. When I find something in the scripture, now I know that that promise is available to me, all right? So he says in verse 12, Isaac sowed in that land and received in the what? In the same year, how much? Right. So that my faith, you got it. Well, you know, is that anytime God raises me up to be a blessing, that Father, I thank you that this year is coming back. You got it? That it's coming back immediately. Watch this. And the Bible says some 30, some 60, some 100. Well, I believe it's according to your faith. You got it? But if you're going to believe for 30, you might as well believe for 60. If you're going to believe for 60, you might as well believe for the 100. So, Father, I thank you for the 100-fold, you know, showing up in my life in the same year. Watch this. And so not only did he receive in the same year 100-fold, not only did, watch this, God increase him for what he did, but it says, and. What's that considered in English? Well, yeah, was it like a conjunction? Yeah, conjunction. Yeah, I wasn't being funny, y'all. What'd you say? Okay, thank you, thank you. A conjunction, all right? Yeah, now I don't know what that means. What's conjunction mean? It joins, right? So you keep on going. Okay, praise the Lord, right? So it's not that we left that behind, we're taking it with us. Am I saying it right? All right. So he blessed him in the same year. Watch this. In the same year, he received the 100-fold. And conjunction, keep on going, the Lord blessed him. Verse 13. What's that next word? What's that word? A conjunction. What's that mean? We got to keep on going, right? Now, because if we're going to read the Bible and study it, we really got to understand it, right? And the man waxed and went forward until he became very great, for he had possessions of flocks and possession of herds and a great store of service. Sounds like overflow, but what happens anytime God starts blessing you? And the Philistines did what? Envied him. Anytime you start doing good, unfortunately, you'll have people that don't like that. Don't worry about that. You got it. Don't worry about that. You know, the last thing I want to see is you on social media clapping back about people and that, you know. No, don't worry about that, man. Just enjoy the blessings of God on your life. Enjoy the peace of God on your life. And don't worry about all the other stuff. Later for the haters, all right? Because when you understand the principle of giving, God is not trying to get something from you. He's trying to get something to you. See, but giving is a matter of the heart. I've learned at the end of the day that God really just wants our heart. You got it? For where a man's treasure is, there is his heart also. See, the truth is, giving becomes difficult if I don't realize it's God's plan. Right? I think I have these in the back. Letter A, it's difficult to give when my plan to have is valued above my confidence in God's plan. But you have to have confidence that God's plan is going to work better than your plan. That seed leaves my hand, but it never leaves my life. It goes into my future, it prepares my harvest, awaits my arrival. Letter B, it's difficult to give when I feel my needs and desires will be jeopardized if I obey. And that's a trick from the enemy to try to tell you, you know, because even the enemy knows that giving works. You know, so if you do this, it's going to mess your life up. You understand? I can't see giving as losing, but rather gaining. See, it is difficult to give when it looks like God is better to others than he is to me. Number one, everything is a process. Things don't happen overnight, but they happen over time. But you got to understand that if God is blessing your neighbor, he's in the neighborhood. So you rejoice with those who rejoice, because if he did it for them, he's the same God. He's no respecter of persons. If you work the same principle, he's got to do it for you. Does that make sense? All right. Letter D, it is difficult to give when I allow others to dump their doubt and unbelief on me. And how many know people will do that? They'll tell you, giving never worked for me. Well, I believe it. You know, maybe your heart wasn't right. Maybe you didn't really intentionally release faith for the promised blessing. You got it. And that's why when I teach on giving, you know, I don't try to get y'all excited. You got it. I teach the word of God, you know, the line upon line, precept upon precept. This is what the word of God says. Now you have it. Now my prayer is this good seed that's going to fall into good ground, right? And you're going to take the word and apply it in your life. But that's up to you. You got it. But I'm not going to tell you. But I hear the Lord saying that if I get 25 people to give $1,006.67, that I see contracts in the sky. No, I'm not going to do all that. I'm going to tell you what the word of God says. And guess what? That's not just enough. It's more than enough. Oh, that's a good place to clap right there. That's just not enough. It's more than enough. All right. See, when you realize that the word of God is real and true, you don't have to add any game to it, because the word stands all by itself. If I apply it in faith, it's going to produce a harvest in my life. Does that make sense? You got it. You know, how many believe it works? How many know it works? You understand what I'm saying? And so you've got to know it works for your life. And then let's rehearse. Number one, I learned that giving is God's plan. Number two, I learned that obedience unlocks the door. And number three, faith produces the overflow. Faith produces the overflow. So it is my obedience that, watch this, gives me the entitlement to the blessing, but it is my faith, watch this now, that's going to bring it into possession into my life. So not only do I read the word, you got it, but I've got to, watch this, release faith and apply this word that it's going to work in my life. Does that make sense? Yeah, you know, and so you got to trust God as your source, that money's not a source, it's a resource, but God is a source. Now, we need money, you understand? But you know, something happens and the money begins to dry up a little bit, you don't have to get worried, you don't have to get in fear, you don't have to have anxiety, because you can go right back to the source. He's Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that provides. And that's why it's so important to understand that giving puts me in covenant with God. It doesn't supply some of my needs, it supplies all of my needs. Okay, Corey, let's play something, because I want to tell you this story. Now, some of you have heard this story, but some of you have not, because I have not told this story in a while. And praise the Lord, Without Limits keeps growing and growing and growing. Every week, we've got people that are coming. Amen? And so, this is what you got to do. You got to make it up in your mind. And watch this. Am I going to trust what I can do for my life, or am I going to trust what God can do for my life? Am I going to live out of my hands, or do I want to live out of God's hands? And I just want you to know, his hands are bigger than yours. And so I would learn to live out of God's hands. Everybody say, his hands are bigger than mine. One more time. His hands are bigger than mine. All right. So this little boy, and he's with his mama. They go to the corner store. Back in these days, the corner store was like the grocery store. It was an all-in-one. I remember as a little boy going to the corner store and getting penny candy out of the big jars. I don't know if y'all remember that, right? Yeah. And so they had little candy that we don't even have nowadays. You understand? And so I don't want to have flashbacks. Praise the Lord. But anyways, the little boy's with his mama, and the mama's trying to hurry up. And the reason the mama's trying to hurry up is because she has to go get the little girl off the school bus. And I don't know how the rules are nowadays, but back in those days, the rule was they're not letting the child off if the parent wasn't there. And so what happens is the mom said, come on, let's go. And so she's going to get a few things, and she's trying to figure out how much money she's got, and she's got some coupons, and she's trying to work it all out. And the gentleman, you know, who was stocking, he's the owner. He stocks, he bags, he does it all. You know, he's the cashier, because that's how it worked back in those days. And so now he comes around and he starts helping her, you know, and he realizes that she's in a rush, he sees the little boy still over at the back of the counter looking up at the candy. By now, he figures the mama is in a rush. She might not even have the money, so I'm going to tell the little boy to go ahead and get some candy. He tells the little boy, go ahead and put your hands in there and get you some candy. And the boy just keeps looking. And so what happens is the owner, he keeps, you know, tallying it up and bagging her grocery. He looks over at the kid, and the mom looks over at the kid. She said, go ahead, get the candy. We got to go, right? And he's still looking at the candy. And then after the owner gets finished, he gives her everything. Hey, have a great day. She's on her way out to realize that the boy is still there. Now, the owner is a little like, what is going on? I told him it was okay, right? And so the mama said, come on, we got to go. He's still looking at the candy. In frustration, the owner goes where the little boy is, takes his hands, gets the candy, and hands it to the kid. Now the kid all of a sudden starts smiling, and he's walking out. But mama is not happy. Because how many know when mama tells you to do something, you do what mama told you to do? So now mama is like, why would you embarrass me? The man told you it was okay. I told you it was okay. Why would you have not just taken some candy like the man told you? And he looks up at his mama with all this candy in his hand, and he says, mama, his hands were bigger than mine. And at some times in life, you got to learn how to start living out of God's hands, because God's hands are bigger than yours. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, believers praying all over the building. Father, we thank you for your word. And we know it's not void of power, but it accomplished those things that you have set it out to do. And I bind the hand of the enemy and everything that's not like God that would just try to in the name of Jesus, just try to go against the people of God. Hold some court. In the name of Jesus, I curse it. And I thank you. And I believe in the name of Jesus that the people of God are free to obey God in Jesus' name. Because what I know is anytime you have a pure lesson like this on giving, the enemy's going to come in and give you every reason to make you think why you don't need to do this and you don't need to do this. But even the enemy knows that giving is God's plan to prosper your life. And so, Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus that the people of God are free to obey God. And as they obey God in their giving, Father, I thank you that your word is not going to return unto them void. And so I thank you for it in Jesus' name. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed and believers are praying all over the building, if you're in this room and you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, I want to give you the opportunity. Jesus is the absolute best thing that ever happened to me, and I know he'll be the best thing that ever happened to you. Romans 10 and 9 says, if we'll just confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, that we shall be saved. It goes on to say, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth, confession is made into salvation. And all that means is you got to believe that God sent his only son, Jesus, to die for you, and that you need him in your life to the degree that you're willing to repent of your sins. Maybe you're in the room and you need to rededicate your life, or you're online. I want you to know God's not mad at you. God's not upset with you, and God's not angry with you. And don't listen to people who talk like that. God's love for you is undeniable. Maybe you're in the room or online and you're a Christian. You just need to repent about some things. See, repentance doesn't put us at the back of the line. It just puts us back in line. That word repent just means it is literally translated a change of mind and a change of direction. And so I want you to pray this prayer with me. Even if you're in the room or online and you say, I don't fall under any of those categories, this is still a good prayer to pray. So I want you to repeat after me. Everyone in the room and online, repeat after me. Say, Father, I come to you asking you to forgive me for sinning against you. A holy God, I know Jesus died and shed his blood just for me. Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. And from this day forward, I'll serve you. Now, Satan, I denounce you and every evil work. Tell him you have nothing to do with me and I have nothing to do with you. Now, boldly declare this. Say, Jesus is my Savior. He's my Lord. And I'll always serve him. Father, we thank you for what you've done. We give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Can you give the Lord a big hand praise? Are you glad you came to church on today?